The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast. Seventy2HourPrint.com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72HourPrint.com. That's 72HRPrint.com. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, Captain Interruption, along with my boss, Mr. Scott Reynolds.
Yes, and I didn't interrupt you.
You will before it's over. Captain Interruption Part 2. Nutchecker Taylor Jenkins.
Always glad to be here.
We had an interesting conversation before the show started.
Keep that private.
We'll about
keep
a couple private. Friends of yours that were dealing the solo nuts.
It's an unfortunate situation. It's an unfortunate club to be in.
Well, we all wanted to know how you knew that. But anyway, we won't get into that now. We'll keep it PG. And of course, the producer extraordinaire, the man who is going to make this podcast sound like $1 million, Mr. Matthew Matera.
How are you?
The heck was that?
It was kind of like a New York wannabe Southern introduction.
Yeah, that's true.
Where are you from in New York?
Long Island.
Oh, Long Island.
You know where Massapequa is?
Massapequa Park.
He tells everybody that.
Yeah.
Anyway, New Yorkers love to tell people where they're from New York.
Yes.
They act like they don't understand, like, Florida, it's half of New York, has moved down here.
Right.
So you don't have to act surprised when somebody says they're from New York, but.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just every time. It's like, oh.
Well, it's not just.
I hope you like the Mets.
It's not just New York. Like, I mean, there's Philly people down here. There's Chicago.
It's all the Northeast. When I went to UT, the original UT, University of Tampa, I went there to, like, get away from everyone from New York. And then, lo and behold, everyone at the school is from New York, Massachusetts,
it's funny,
all
when he
over
says
the place.
The original UT, like, there's people in the. That love University of Tennessee. They're like, what in tarnation? Yeah.
And University of Texas.
Be happy.
Yeah, whenever I meet someone from UT, I go, oh, so you're not from Tampa. I go, let me guess, like Chicago, Boston, New York, Connecticut, something like that. It's always up there.
Yeah.
Damn Yankees. Just kidding. Well, we love our Yankee listeners.
This is interesting because this is typically a slow time of year for Bucks news. Okay. Unfortunately, not to bring up bad memories, but there was some major Bucks news last June, which was Jameis Winston's suspension. That came down.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the kind of news anybody wants to hear in June. The news this week, though, is interesting.
Jameis is suspended again?
No, he's not, thankfully.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
That would make one hell of a headline for this podcast.
Yeah, but that's not the case.
That's true. Good point.
So, two bits of Bucks news that were pretty big. One was, no surprise, Mike Evans did a contract extension to, not a contract extension.
Restructure.
Sorry, restructure. Yes, restructure. To save the Bucks some salary cap space, which was needed because they still have to sign Devin White, and they're going to have some salary cap cushion heading into the 2019 regular season when injuries and
when they sign JPP's stuff. Replacement.
Well,
it's coming.
It might be.
It's coming.
It might be.
All right. And the next bit of breaking news, Scott.
Well, the next bit of breaking news was Gerald McCoy appearing on Shannon and Skip, uninterrupted.
Undisputed.
Or undisputed. Sorry, they interrupted you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And I'm looking at you thinking, well, you're going to interrupt me.
I would have been.
So I was
be
ready
perfect
for
that show.
Yeah, you
if
would.
If it was called Interrupted. Because that's all they do. I would jump right in.
Undisputed.
Nobody would get anything in.
Yeah. And Gerald McCoy was on there. And he said he was not going to, you know, bash the organization or whatever, but he kind of proceeded.
And then
to
he bashed
bash
the organization.
Yeah.
That's like when, you know, somebody says, well, you know, I don't want to talk bad about you, but anytime somebody adds the but, you know, it's coming.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened yesterday. I was getting ready to go to our bowling league and scrolling through Twitter and saw the post from the Undisputed Show.
Yeah.
And I immediately watched it, you know, thinking it was going to be kind of a generic, bland thing. No, right. It was 11 minutes of gold.
Yeah.
So we threw that up real quick. But I was really kind of surprised that, you know, Gerald would kind of go on that rampage because it kind of seemed like it had blown over. In fact, we'd even said on a podcast, mm-hmm. we weren't going to talk about Gerald McCoy anymore. Right. It's over. Here Sue's are. Here.
Yeah. Because yeah, he really didn't talk about this stuff. Sorry, I interrupted you. But
thank you.
But he really didn't talk about this stuff at his introductory press conference.
Right.
In Carolina.
And he's done some things with the Carolina media, yeah. with their version of Casey Phillips. I saw a thing with that.
Right.
You know, none of that went on at all. And then he goes on this show, which is kind of odd that he picked that show. I mean, I would have went on NFL Network or ESPN yeah. probably. I mean, do people really watch Fox right. Sports?
Well, knowing that they're going to try to instigate him to get him to talk about
especially Shannon
like
Sharp.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's their job is to, you know, cause a huge uproar in, right. in the media and
to be newsworthy.
Like
yeah.
It I worked. Mean,
yeah, well, yeah. Skip Bayless is known is for putting out these takes that are always egregiously wrong. And he took the bait.
Yeah. And so, well, let me just ask you guys, how did Gerald come across?
I personally don't think it was a good look for Gerald, to be honest.
Way?
I mean, he said he wasn't going to slander the Bucks, and he went on and proceeded to slander the Bucks. And it's just...
Well, but hold
really
on. Listen, and he even said this
okay,
this
I wouldn't
term,
say slander.
Slander, right. Because slander
not
means
slander.
To
make false allegations.
Make false allegations,
say,
right.
He didn't slander. He mildly bashed.
He
mildly bashed,
them,
yeah.
Right?
Bad mouth.
Yeah.
He aired out his dirty laundry.
And do I think that some of his feelings are a little warranted? Sure. He's been here a long time. But it also just goes to show, like, right what Bucks fans have been saying all along, where he is just a little thin-skinned.
Yeah.
He's a little soft. He had to go onto this show because he wanted his feelings known.
Yeah.
He didn't go on this show just to talk about Carolina yeah, I mean, and talk about his play. And most people say, I'm talking football. I'm not talking my off-the-field stuff. Yeah.
He literally jumped down Jenna Lane's throat a couple weeks ago after he signed with Carolina, saying, come on, Jenna, you know me better than that, when she implied that he was upset about them giving his jersey number to Ndamukong Suh.
Right.
And yet he went on the show yesterday and said exactly that. He felt disrespected.
Right.
That his jersey number 93 was given to Sue. And it's just that bipolar kind of deal you get with Gerald sometimes. You know, you just don't know. I mean,
you're not diagnosing Gerald as bipolar. You're just saying that
schizophrenic, maybe. Just kidding.
What you're saying is that sometimes there's a propensity to
talk out of both sides,
talk out
of
both
mouth.
Sides of mouth.
And that what was ironic too is, you know, he made that Instagram post shortly after he got released, and it was like, I still got love for the Bucks. I'm going to retire Buck.
Yeah.
And then his introductory press conference with the Panthers, they mentioned the 93 thing, and he said, that's their problem now. And then he turns around and does, you know, this whole...
Yeah, he was not obligated to take it any further than that. He could have simply said, listen, I addressed that at my press conference, and I'm not going to comment
just
on that anymore.
Just all of a sudden, he's like, you know what? Right. F you guys. Now I'm pissed off. But why did it take so long to do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, he's entitled to his feelings. If he feels disrespected, he's entitled to feel that way. Like that's a personal thing. Everybody has a right to be disrespected or not. But then when you're in the public arena, people can make judgments.
Right.
Well, do you have a right to feel disrespected or whatever? And I think that again, not taking anything away from Gerald and his right to feel disrespected. He obviously does. That's his prerogative. But again, you have to look, and we're taping this on Thursday afternoon. I've got some pretty explosive information I'm going to be writing about in my Fab Five. We're going to embargo this podcast until Friday morning to have that be in conjunction with the Fab Five. But before I get to that, I'm just going to say that when it comes to Gerald and in his jersey number, a couple of things. Number one, when Leroy Selman left and Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp and Rondé Barber and John Lynch and Mike Allstott, when all these Buccaneer legends left, there was not a player that came on the next year or even that year that was of the caliber of the player that they were replacing, right? And none of those players that didn't end up signing with the Buccaneers to fill those particular holes were of the caliber of the players they were replacing. And none of those players that were signed asked for any of those jersey numbers.
My guy, my cousin Jamel Cook, when he replaced Mike Allstott, he was probably better than Mike Allstott.
No.
No?
No, he wasn't.
Did he come? He did come after Allstott, right?
I think they were in the same.
I don't think they're on the same team. They both played the same position.
Yeah, but I think you have to. Yeah, you know have to what? Forgive my memory.
Yeah,
here,
my memory's bad too.
I think that Cook might have been like the backup fullback or something.
Point is, and you make a good point, is it's not like the Buccaneers let Sapp go and John Randall was signed the next day.
Right.
You know, or exactly. Whoever, Keith Millard or whoever sure. was a good defensive tackle
right.
back in
those
days.
Oh yeah, I want number 99.
Right.
Like and not that the Glaziers, who are ultimately not this is not a Jason Light or Bruce Arians call.
Right.
This is the Glaziers call. They're the ones that control the Ring of Honor. They're the ones, it's their franchise. They're the ones who control the jersey numbers in terms of, hey, these jerseys are off limits now.
Right.
Like, that's not the case. You had Ndamukong Suh, who for the last 4 years has branded himself as number 93 in stints with the Dolphins and most certainly, lastly, with the LA Rams
yep.
as number 93. That's the identity he's forged and created as a five-time Pro Bowler and five-time All-Pro. And he was also the 2010 NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. So really, you have somebody with as much accomplishments in the NFL as Gerald McCoy does, saying, like, yeah, I want to wear number 93. That's my number two. And I understand Gerald's standpoint. You know, Sue hasn't done a damn thing in red and pewter yet. And McCoy just toiled for 9 years and made six Pro Bowls, et cetera. Like, I understand where Gerald's coming from.
So it isn't like the Buccaneers signed Will Clark back and he wanted 93.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. This is an extenuating circumstance. The other thing, too, is you got to remember, and I think on a previous podcast, I was incorrect in saying that, well, they let Simeon Rice go, and the next year they had let Jimmy Wilkerson have the number. It was actually not the next year. It was the year after that mm-hmm. that Wilkerson got the number. But still, the Glaziers deemed number 97 to not be off limits.
Right.
It was a viable jersey. It's still being worn today.
And you know when it may
and
be...
And that's Simeon Rice's number.
You know when it may be off limits? If Gerald ends up in the Ring of Honor one day.
Yes.
After that, then they may decide that 93 is off limits for
yes,
a while.
Exactly.
But right now, when they're trying to sign a guy and they're trying to make a playoff run and they've brought in a new regime and they're trying to change an attitude on this football team, look, if that's the sticking point in signing Ndamukong Suh, and I don't know that it was.
Yeah, I don't think that was the sticking point, but it was probably a request. And they probably wanted to appease him.
Right, right. And I don't think that's a bad idea. We're going to talk a lot more about Gerald McCoy, but first we need to talk about our amazing title sponsor of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
That's right, Mark. The Pewter Nation Podcast is presented by Chris Garrido at West Shore Financial. That's the official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com. I'll admit it, I was that guy. That guy who thought he had enough life insurance, that guy who didn't put nearly enough of my money away for my retirement. Guys, I procrastinated. Don't be like me. Call Chris Garrido and let his team at West Shore Financial come up with a sound strategy to protect your family's future. Chris told me it's never too late to bolster my retirement and life insurance, and he's right. So if you're like me, Chris will put you on the path to sound investment and retirement strategies. But don't wait. I've known Chris for over a decade, and I was a client of his before West Shore Financial became the sponsor of this Pewter Nation podcast. I trust him with my retirement. You should too. Call Chris Garrido today at 813-434-0037 for a complimentary, no-obligation, preliminary conversation, and you'll be glad that you did.
I've really, really got to call Chris now. I mean, with the recent changes to this Buccaneer roster, mm-hmm. because, you know, I was kind of banking my family's financial future on hawking iHeart 93 GMC t-shirts outside the stadium this fall. So I'm thinking, again, I don't want to get in trouble with the NFL. I couldn't put, you know, Gerald McCoy.
Right.
But wink, wink, it was Gerald McCoy. And now I've got a warehouse full of about 5,000 of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what to do with them now. So that probably was not the soundest
Definitely
financial
not.
Strategy
not a good
for
idea.
My future.
Yeah.
Damn it. Yep. I wonder if I could just cross out GMC and put NS on it.
For Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you probably just should have just left the name off and just
Damn
gone
it,
with
that's
the number 93.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. That's the easiest.
Curse you. Curse you, Glazers, for allowing Ndamukong Suh to wear 93. Oh, well.
Well, listen, Pewter Nation, we've got some of your comments from Twitter, your questions that we're going to be answering and commenting on in just a minute. But let's wrap up this conversation about Gerald McCoy. One thing that really has not been reported, and we're going to report it, is the fact that Gerald McCoy was offered a contract. It wasn't even a restructure. He was offered a pay cut. Right. He was offered a pay cut.
Early this year.
Yeah, to stay in Tampa.
He and his agent wasn't just, I mean, Gerald's agent was involved in it too, but they were asked and declined.
Correct. And so you really have to watch that interview with Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bayless through that lens, because he's making it all seem like the Buccaneers did him wrong and that he felt disrespected. But the thing is he was offered a pay cut and he refused to take that. And
essentially he did by signing with Carolina.
Yeah. But it wasn't with the Bucs.
Right.
And so I reference what Shannon Sharpe said, and I'll read this. And again, you can read the SRS Fab 5 where I go into detail about this. And I've got quotes from Gerald we're going to get to as well, because I did have a text conversation with Gerald just really minutes before this podcast taped on Thursday. And Shannon Sharpe said to Gerald on, is it Undisputed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the show.
Undefeated, Undisputed, Uninterrupted.
There we go. Did they offer you a restructure or did they want to part ways? Gerald McCoy said, it was a little bit of both. It wasn't technically a restructure. We tried to come to a decision of what we could do, and we just had to, nah.
Okay, if it ain't a structure, and you were trying to figure out something you could do,
right?
What? How many options are there?
Well, what Gerald said, it wasn't technically a restructure. He's telling on himself right there.
Right.
Okay. So he's admitting that there were conversations about the contract, and he said it wasn't a restructure. And it wasn't a restructure, because a restructure is like what happened with Mike Evans. They're taking money that they had every intention of paying Mike, who was originally supposed to make $20 million this season, and he will. But they took part of that money, $4 million, and they gave it to him in the form of a signing bonus. And that created $3.2 million worth of cap space with an $800,000 cap charge going over, I think, the next 3 or 4 years. And so Mike did not take a pay cut. He simply took a restructure. And that helps the Bucks from a salary cap standpoint. So if Gerald's saying it wasn't technically a restructure, the only other thing it could have been was a pay cut. Yeah. Now, I don't know how much they were asking him to take. Was it $5 million? Was it $3 million? I don't know.
But I don't think it would have mattered in Gerald's mind if it was $1 million. I think he was thinking, you know, all I've done for this franchise, again, if you go and listen to his quotes on the show, you know, what I've done in this community, how dare you essentially say I'm not worth this amount of money when you told me I was when I signed the deal.
Right.
But the thing is, all NFL players know these long-term extensions, a lot of times the salaries increase.
Sure.
Or there's still a lot of money on the back end of them. And rarely do players, you know, get all of that money, in other words.
Right. And I think part of it, too, is that there's two sides to this. Number one, I think sometimes you have certain reporters will look at this and say, well, you know, you've got management and you've got the worker, and the management's screwing the worker in this situation because they sign him to a 6-year deal or 8-year deal or whatever it was, and they said they're going to pay you this much money. But in reality, that's where the guaranteed money comes in. At the end of the day, teams are telling the player, hey, we'll sign you to 6 years. We're going to only guarantee 2 million, or I'm sorry, 2 years of this,
right,
or 3 years of this. So they're letting you know up front.
That's exactly right. That you're not, it's not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed.
If you are on the team in 4 years,
right,
we're going to pay you $13 million.
Sure.
But
if Gerald McCoy
you're not
had 12 sacks last
fourth.
Year, then he would be
He'd
making
be getting
$13 million.
That's right.
A year.
There's no doubt about it. And the other part of this is it, going back to that viewpoint of, you know, well, the players always get screwed by management here. Hey, how about Will Golston? When the Glaziers and Jason Light showed great faith in extending Will Golston after two really good back-to-back years of being a big-time run stopper and getting 3 sacks in each of those seasons, and then, you know, he craps the bed the next year, of which he admitted to me, I crapped the bed. I mean,
there's
he
risk
had a bad year.
On both sides in every contract.
Guess what? Will Golston wasn't cut because he had guaranteed money. Even though he played like crap, he still got paid. Doug Martin's the same way.
Yeah.
Doug Martin was re-signed after getting a 1,400-yard Pro Bowl season by Tampa Bay, by Jason Light and Mike Greenberg, right after, you know, Dirk Cutter was named as the head coach. This was Dirk's running back. This was the guy that just produced a Pro Bowl caliber season. And all of a sudden, well, that was a bad signing. Why was it a bad signing? Because the player didn't live up to his end of the deal.
Yeah.
Okay, the player sucked. So what I'm saying is there's two sides to every coin. Sometimes, yes, the players get screwed over by teams. Other times, the players end up screwing the team, whether it's in free agency, whether it's a contract extension, or whether it's a draft pick.
Or by getting addicted to drugs and being suspended for 3 games.
Yeah, absolutely.
After getting a big payday.
Absolutely.
You know, and look, I'm always, not always, but 99% of the time, I am going to favor the players in the fact that we see what the toll that it takes on their bodies, and I believe they earn every penny of it. I hate when people say, oh, they're a bunch of overpaid, whining crybabies. You know, again, they do something. They have a specialized skill. Well, yes, teachers and policemen and all these people should make more money. I think we all agree with that.
Right.
Unfortunately, no one's paying to watch my mom teach for 20 years. Exactly. There was nobody buying a luxury suite at Turkey Creek Junior High to watch her be a reading coach. It just wasn't the case. I mean, it's
at the same time,
though,
this is voluntary.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of these guys do go to college and graduate, and there's nothing that says you have to continue playing football. They want to because hey, they love the game, they love the money, hopefully both, but it's voluntary.
But I tend to err on the player side. However, the reason Gerald McCoy is not making $13 million this year is because his contract was not guaranteed past the second year. And who's
I think
deal
it was
is
past
that?
The third year.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. He had guaranteed money for the first 3 years of the deal. But the bottom line is it's the players and the NFL Players Association who negotiated this deal with the NFL owners. Mm-hmm. And I do think we're going to see a labor stoppage coming up when this current collective bargaining agreement expires. Really the only major professional sport where there isn't guaranteed contracts. I mean, hockey has them. Major League Baseball has them.
Fully guaranteed contracts.
I mean, Le'Veon Bell went on strike last year because he wanted more guaranteed money.
And
he said,
up,
I'm worth more than this, and he ended up getting it.
Right. Well, I don't know that he got as much as that he wanted. And I don't think he is making a whole lot more than the Steelers maybe originally offered. But bottom line is you know, the players kind of have this. I don't want to blame them, but they made the deal with the devil, if you want to call the owners the devil, in other words. So, you know, I like the players to earn the most amount of money because they're the ones out there putting their lives literally on the line for our entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I mean, again, Gerald McCoy signed that contract knowing exactly what it was. Nobody told him, all 6 years you're going to get paid, man, no matter what. I mean, that was never
here's one thing, and I'm delving into my text conversation with Gerald here because I was asking him some questions. And
are you going to include the part where he says, screw you, Scott?
Not that part.
Okay, good.
And he didn't say that.
And Cook, too.
Yeah, he did say that.
Yeah,
he did mention you.
Yeah, always.
But I did ask Gerald, so you were not asked to take a pay cut by the Buccaneers. And Gerald said, ask them, meaning the Bucs. And I said, I'm asking you. And Gerald says, I'm going to keep it real with you. It's over, man. I'm done talking about it. Ask the Bucs. And then I try to ask him again. So you were saying the Bucs did not ask you to take a pay cut. And he said, my decision was not as in caps, based off money. You and your colleagues stop writing it was about money. I have plenty of money. Y'all thinking everything is about money proves y'all never knew me. Goodbye, Scott. I'm done. The nuts and bolts of it is it's about money. Okay. Now, from Gerald's point of view and his perspective, which he is completely entitled to, it's not about dollars and cents. It's not about if the Bucks came to him and said, Gerald, we'd love to keep you. We're in a salary cap pinch this year. You're 31. The production's gone down a bit. You know, Bruce, you know, and I, as the general manager, you know, I've talked with the Lasers and stuff, and we want to have you here, but maybe for $10 million, or maybe for $8 million, maybe for $5 million. I have no idea how much the Bucks were asking him to take a pay cut, but like you said, it could have been $1 million less. And what Gerald is saying by saying it's not based on money is it's about value. It's about he felt devalued by the Bucks even asking him to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
Okay. And really, so it's kind of a fine line. For the organization, it's all about money because Jason Light and Bruce Arians and Mike Greenberg, they're looking at the salary cap saying, we want to add these players. We got to sign these draft picks. And it's going to come down to dollars and cents. And the salary cap is what it is. And we're like really close to it. And we have to create some cap room. And we're going to you because you make you're up there in terms of one of the highest paid players in the team at $13 million. And we just don't feel, which is the Bucks' right, because it's subjective. Value is subjective.
Right.
What they're saying is, we don't feel you're worth $13 million. And so with Gerald, I don't think it really was about the dollars and cents. I think it was the fact that the Bucks said, we don't think you're worth as much as you were supposed to make this year.
That's exactly it. It's not about docking the pay. It's about docking his worth.
Yes.
And that's what he sees.
Yes.
Because he's got enough money in his pocket.
Exactly.
So it's not about the financial. It's
right.
about the worth.
Yes. And that's where he feels disrespected.
You don't think I'm worth this, right. not you don't want to pay me this.
Yep.
And that's
the moral of the story is to always be mediocre in life. That way you won't make too much, because the more money you make, you're at the top of the chopping block.
You become a target.
You know, you become a target. So just skate through life like I did in high school. Graduated
with a
2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right down the middle.
Right.
In other words, snake it till you make it.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Snake it till you make it?
I thought it was fake it till you make it.
It pretty much means like just do, you know, take shortcuts, do the minimum you can to kind of get by. Like, who's that quarterback that had a great game for
Matt's
the Packers?
Matt's telling himself right now.
No, not at all. Yeah, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn had one great game for the Packers.
Yeah.
And got paid a ton of money for it.
Yeah.
That's snaking it till you make it.
Right. Just like Rob Johnson with the Jaguars.
Ryan Fitzpatrick
right?
being mediocre.
Who was it?
You know?
Was it the Bills? Where did Rob Johnson come from?
Bills.
Yeah.
The Bills, yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, too. He didn't exactly snake it, but, you know, he got it all at the right time where he had a really good season and made other teams think, maybe this guy could be the solution.
Yeah.
Banked out twice.
Speaking of snakes, if you ever find one in the wild, you're going to want to need to protect yourself. You know what makes a good snake protector?
A flare gun.
That and a frog gig.
A frog gig? What's that?
It's like a trident.
Oh.
But you throw it and you stab frogs with bullfrogs, and you have frog legs for dinner. And I was thinking the other day, gosh, where can I get a good frog gig? And
no
I just
idea.
Racked my brain, and then all of a sudden it came to me as I was driving down Adamo and across 50th Street, and I looked over to my right, T.A. Mahoney's.
There you go.
For all of your marine needs, including frog gigs
and flare guns.
And flare guns, T.A. Mahoney's is your one-stop shop. In fact, I'm going to go see Mike's son. This weekend, I'm going to get me a new beach fishing rig because I like to fish for snook along the beaches this time of year, in June and July. So they come out of the passes to spawn. They feed in the morning time or in the evening time. You can see them just cruising in about knee-deep water. I love the sight cast to them. And they're going to hook me up with a nice new bull bay rod. I'm not sure what kind of reel I'm going to go with yet, but I'm going to go check it out and check them out at T.A. Mahoney's. Matt himself actually bought a rod and reel yesterday. He said he paid $15 for it. Not sure you're going to get a $15 rod and reel at T.A. Mahoney's. Not sure you want a $15 rod and reel. But, hey, listen, he's got one. But he didn't know that they sold marine. No, I mean, he didn't know they sold fishing tackle. We've said it on this podcast numerous times. Literally, from the smallest little bluegill hook all the way up to a gaff to bring in a 100-pound kingfish, T.A. Mahoney's has it. Anything in the marine world, from boating to eyewear to clothing, to frog gigs, T.A. Mahoney's, 50th Street in Adamo, been in business since 1948, same amount of years Scott Reynolds has been alive, so you know that they've been around a long, long time. T.A. Mahoney's, find him online, tamahoney.com.
Just to put a period on this, if you and I were both defensive tackles, and we were both Pro Bowlers, right? And, you know, and let's say we were both on teams
I would be like Gerald McCoy. I'd be real petty. I would want more money. I just would.
Okay.
I'm just that way.
I'm just saying, let's
side with Gerald.
Let's say we were on teams that were good, not great, or average, right. whatever, okay? How am I supposed to know that I'm better than you, right? If we both have the same kind of credentials.
You're right. It's all subjective. You bring
right.
up a good point.
It all comes down to money.
In the fab. Yeah.
And a lot of times, that's what these players are after. Because like Gerald said, he's got plenty of money. Of course he does. So does Ndamukong Suh.
Right.
Once you make $100 million, like
you're
you have plenty of money.
Tax bracket. Yeah, you're
exactly.
up there.
So, listen, even for players that don't make that much, like they have a lot of money. But the thing is that is a lot of times, that in Super Bowl rings,
mm-hmm.
that is the value measuring stick. It means I'm better than you. I'm the best defensive tackle. I'm the best defensive
player.
I'm the best this or that. I'm at the top of my game because I'm paid the most. I'm worth the most.
But if players look at it honestly, that's just dumb because again, it's all a pecking order, and it's when you get signed, and values and salaries are always going up.
And it lasts for a year. It lasts for a year because somebody's going to be replacing
somebody him. Will make more money than Mike Evans in the near future at the wide receiver position. Gerald McCoy was the highest paid defensive tackle until Ndamukong Suh signed as a free agent. The Buccaneers signed him before he hit free agency.
And that's what they always say. You set the market. When the Eagles sign Carson Wentz, they go, here we go, because Jared Goff has the same manager and Dak Prescott's going to be up for one.
Yep.
And they're probably going to get paid as much, if not more.
Right. You can't tell me that freaking Russell Wilson is anywhere near as good a quarterback as Tom Brady.
Right.
Yet he's going to make, what, $14 million more this year?
And the interesting thing is,
and Dak Prescott wants $34 million.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
But he wants it because he knows he can get it.
That's exactly it. Because the market is
set. It's a leapfrog business.
And it's not because Dak Prescott is better than 90% of quarterbacks in the NFL, but it's because the last two, three quarterbacks who have gotten paid. Look, finding a franchise quarterback is hard. And that you could say that with pretty much any key position, whether that's defensive tackle, whether that's defensive end, whether that's your lockdown cornerback.
Who was it?
Miami just gave. We're not going to talk about kickers on this podcast. So I'm personally vetoing that. But
Taylor laying down.
I don't want to talk.
Go ahead.
No, that's what the punters do.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, kind of this whole situation like with Gerald McCoy kind of a microcosm of this whole like he loves to talk about situations. He loves it. Like most athletes, when they're in this situation, what do they say? Nothing.
Yeah.
And he believes that just because he says something is false, it makes it false. Like all offseason, we watched if the media reported that the Bucks were not interested in keeping him, he would come out on Twitter and say, that's not true. And what happened? If he would come out and say the Bucks want to restructure or offer him a pay cut, he'd come out and say, that's not true.
Right.
And what happened?
Well, again, too, and I've seen this. With a couple of players, and Keyshawn Johnson was one, Simeon Rice was one, Warren Sapp was one. They need attention like oxygen. It's part of their DNA, and that's okay. I'm not knocking it.
And there's other players who completely 1,000% shy away from it.
Mike Allstott,
they don't want a camera in their face. Yeah,
absolutely. Like Mike Allstott is comfortable just carrying the football and scoring touchdowns, and never really wanted to talk to the media.
I'm more like Keyshawn and Gerald.
Yes, you are. Yeah, you're a bit like of an attention whore.
Well, yeah, I admit it.
Yeah. But the thing is like in this text exchange with Gerald, this is three different texts from him. I'm done talking about it. And what does he do? He texts me back. And then he texts me back again.
Well, to be honest, you kept hounding him like you were a lawyer and he was under trial.
I just want a clarification. Then he said, I said,
Mr. McCoy, did you or did you not say the Buccaneers offered you a pay cut?
Then he says, I said what I said. It's over. Moving on. And then I asked him one last question. So you are saying the Bucks did not ask you to take a pay cut. Then he answered me again.
Right.
And then he said, goodbye, Scott. I'm done. You know, and if I texted him back, he would probably answer me. So I'm sure that he'll probably say something about this podcast or my Fab Five column. I'm sure he'll probably give me the Jenna Lane treatment, you know. And again.
Well, not on Twitter because we're blocked.
Well, but other people will see it.
Yeah, true.
I mean, he'll blast us to other people just because we're blocked.
Here's the secret. I'm not blocked. So I'll be able to report back to
you. You're going to get blocked. You might not get blocked, Okay. Anyways, so in looking at value, right, for defensive tackles, Fletcher Cox right now with $17.1 million is at the top, right? Fletcher Cox. Geno Atkins.
Awesome name.
Yeah, Geno Atkins, number two, 16.3. And then here's where it gets interesting. Kawan Short from the Panthers is the third at 16.1. Grady Jarrett from the Falcons is next, 15.2. The fifth guy is Jaguars, Marcell Dareus at $14 million. Linval Joseph of the Vikings is at 12.5. Sheldon Richardson with the Browns, 12.3. Star Lutaleli with the Bills is $10 million. Malik Jackson with the Eagles, $10 million. Don Terry Poe with the Panthers is $9.33 million. And then you've got Damone Harrison from the Lions at 9.25, then Ndamukong Suh with the Buccaneers, 9.25, then Gerald McCoy, $8 million with the Panthers. So Gerald is actually the third highest paid defensive tackle on the Panthers. I didn't know that. I didn't know Poe was making that much money.
Yes, Scott, but Christian McCaffrey met him for lunch when he came up to Charlotte.
That's true.
And Bruce Arians didn't call him.
That's true.
Wah.
Okay.
I mean, I please, for the love of God, Scott, convince our owner and you sign off on it. Pay me $114 million and you can talk shit about me every day the rest of my life. You can fire me. I don't care.
Yeah.
Give me $114 million. I'll be the most disrespected man in America.
Yeah.
And I'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
He'll never hear from me again. Roger Goodell
loves it.
Huh?
Roger Goodell does it every day. He loves it. He tries to get a private plane and healthcare for life.
Well, so we got a couple questions here about McCoy. Let's dive into our Pewter Nation Asks section. So this is Charlie8741610, and he says, obviously, there is...
Come on, Charlie. I'll never remember Russian that. Bot? You can't come up with something better.
Might be a Russian bot.
Yeah.
Obviously, there is an apparent connection between Jason Light and Coach Bruce Arians from their time in Arizona.
What accent is that? I don't know if that's Russian.
Yeah, I got to work on that. Do you think the Jason Light's drafts have always been for a Bruce Arians style team? And is all of a sudden this going to look like a genius this year? So basically what he's saying is like, you know, has he been drafting for Bruce Arians team all along? The answer is no. It happens to coincide that a lot of the players that Jason has drafted have a better chance this year in Todd Bowles' defensive scheme of fitting, such as a press corner in Vernon Hargraves, a press corner in Carlton Davis. Those guys were drafted in the first round in 2016 and the second round of 2018, respectively. And Noah Spence, who's really more of like a stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker.
Hell, Jason Light was drafting for Mike Smith and his staff. We want these guys, and then they didn't use them.
There's a reason why
they drafted three more defensive backs this year.
Right.
They clearly weren't thinking ahead that, oh, well, Bruce Arians would like these guys.
So. Right. Yeah. So that's kind of a non-starter.
Yeah.
It just, you know, I think that Todd Bowles will have the opportunity to use these guys in a better chance to have them stick around. And if Vernon Hargraves doesn't play like a damn good press corner in this system, which is to his strengths,
right,
he's gone.
Yeah.
And the same with Noah Spence.
And he'll
Noah
be a journeyman cornerback around the league.
Yeah.
I mean, if he
yeah.
can't make it in a defense that's
suited for his
personally
skills.
Curtailed to his style
right.
and his strengths, he's just not probably going to make it.
Same with Noah Spence.
Yeah. You know,
same with Carlton Davis to a degree. So, you know, we'll see. This is going to be a very, very telling year for a lot of Buccaneer players that were on this roster and that we in the media have said, well, maybe they're being misused.
Yeah, I saw this question this morning. I just think it's really funny because it does kind of look like he was drafting for Bruce Arians for the last 4 years. It's definitely not true. But when you look at the defense that they've run the past 4 years, how well the players fit a completely defense this year, or a completely different defense this year, I think they were just drafting players not only Jason Light liked, but for just a probably confused coaching staff.
Yeah.
Because it just makes, we've said it on this podcast a dozen times, like it just almost makes zero sense with the way they were running the defense last year, how the defense is set up
yeah.
and the players they have running it. So I don't think they were drafting for Bruce Arians. It was just such misaligned usage with who they drafted that mm-hmm. it just happens to fit a completely different defense. Kind of wild. Yeah.
Okay. Alexander Nascimento asks, can you guys project now, just for fun, what will be the Bucs record this season? I'm going to say 7-9.
Whoa.
Yep. 7-9.
9-7.
Oh man, do I really have to be the guy who meets the middle at 8-8? I'll do that. Yeah, 8-8. 8-8. I'm okay. done predicting. 8-8. Make it easy.
I'm only saying 7-9 because I'm at the point where this team needs to show me. I've gone on the positive side for too long. Just show me. And if you do, I'll admit I was wrong. Go 9-7. Go 10-6. Go 11-5. Rub it in my face. I don't care. Show me. Otherwise, 7-9.
I believe Vegas had them at 6.5 wins this year.
Yep.
So I'm gonna take the over and also say 7-9.
My man. Okay.
Well, life's too short to bet the under.
Finishes 7-9. There's going to be some tough decisions for the Glazers to make
yeah.
on a quarterback and
on a
general manager.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else we got question wise?
Percy J. Koo. Am I wrong to call Gerald McCoy a slightly above average defensive tackle who has a quick get off but hasn't done anything on the field but is great off the field? He subsequently blocked me on Instagram after saying this. Kind of sensitive and soft in my opinion. Okay. Well, join the crowd. You're not the only one who's been blocked by Gerald McCoy. I think that he is more than an above-average defensive tackle. I would say that Gerald McCoy is a great defensive tackle, but he's not a legend. He's not in the class of Warren Sapp, John Lynch.
He's not a $13 million one at age 31.
Correct. Yes. I would say he was a great...
That Bruce Arians came up with.
Was that?
Jason. And that's the conclusion that Bruce and Jason came up with.
Yeah. And the thing is I think Gerald McCoy... for most of his Bucs career, was a great defensive tackle. I think he's on the outside of the Bucs top 10 of all time. And And if he's in the top 15, which I believe he is, that's not bad. That's really, really good.
Yeah, 42 years of teams with 53 players on the roster. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
To say you're maybe number 11, 12, 13, wherever it shakes out. Like,
No, I disagree with Percy there. I think Gerald is an above average defensive tackle. I think he's in that great realm, but he's not Warren Sapp, and unfortunately he played a position where one of the best of all time played and set a standard in Tampa Bay, and so inevitably he was going to be compared to Warren Sapp, even though they're really two completely different players. Love Gerald, love everything he did in the community, but this taking everything personal, I just don't understand it. I really don't. Yeah. Again, if I keep going back to the amount of money this guy's earned, $114 million this organization's paid him. I think they've showed him a shit ton of respect.
Yeah.
Because that not one of those checks have bounced.
Sure. And the thing is I genuinely like Gerald as a person. I genuinely respect his game as a player. I could disagree with him. We don't have to agree on everything. We have butted heads more than once during our
one time
nine
I
years.
Saw you guys butt heads, like two Rams in the locker room. It
gave me a concussion.
Yes, you did. You're in this
Oklahoma drill. Yeah. In the locker room. Scott and Gerald going at it.
Unfortunately, Gerald was wearing Kansas State gear because he lost a bet with Scott.
He did. Yeah.
He had to do an Oklahoma.
We were one and one. He had to wear K-State gear one time.
He had to wear the Oklahoma stuff. Yeah. I got a photo of that. I'll need to find it and tweet it out.
And listen, Gerald has come out and talked to my youth football team. I mean, I can disagree with them and still like him and respect him. And it doesn't mean that I hate him and I'm slandering him and all this stuff. It's literally a difference of opinion. But the thing is if he or someone else doesn't recognize that, then that's on them. And I think that is kind of thin skinned, in that regards. And I think Gerald does have thin skin. And again, I'm not bashing him for saying that. I'm simply calling it like I see it. And if he disagrees or anybody disagrees, that's their opinion. And this is a free country. They're entitled to their
opinion. It's not really right or wrong. I mean, I look outside, I say it's sky's blue and.
Well, you can say partly sunny. I can say partly cloudy.
Right. I mean, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. And as we said earlier, when we said we weren't going to talk about Gerald McCoy anymore, ultimately all that matters is what Bruce Arians and Jason Light feel, and they'll ultimately be proven right or wrong this year. Gerald McCoy has 10 sacks, makes a Pro Bowl. Buccaneers lose to the Panthers twice this year. Then he probably wins.
This is going to be interesting, right? Because obviously. Buccaneer fans and Carolina fans and NFL observers, they're going to be having a measuring stick between both number 93s, Gerald McCoy and Dominic Sue, who's going to end up, having more sacks and being the more productive player, right? I mean, it's even more so now this year than it was in 2010 when they both entered the league as the second and third overall picks. The interesting thing is with McCoy, he's probably going to have less snaps than Sue for a couple reasons. Number one, McCoy has been banged up in each of the last couple of years, right? He hasn't played a full 16-game season in a while. Sue, to his credit, has been more of a workhorse, hasn't missed a game outside of being suspended due to injury in his entire career. Sue is going to have to play a ton of snaps because this team doesn't have Jason Pierre-Paul,
right?
So he is going to be called on to be a pretty much full-time player at that three technique spot, okay? And it's also going to be more of a marquee position than he was playing the five tech or the nose in the Rams. So the chances of Ndamukong Suh having more sacks due to playing time this year and the position, I think, go up.
Yeah,
I think he has a chance to get 6+. Not 10 necessarily, but 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that realm. McCoy, on the other hand, it'll be interesting to see because he has to split time with two guys to make more money than him. In Kawan Short and Don Terry Poe. They play a 4-3.
Right.
Is McCoy going to be playing a defensive end spot to get more playing time? Maybe. We'll see how Ron Rivera uses him. But the interesting thing is, there's been talk with that they might be using a 3-4 defense up there.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I guess Poe is the nose tackle. Is McCoy going to be the 3, or is McCoy going to be the 5 with Short being the 3?
Right.
Right. Short is the guy that's the highest paid Panther on defense, maybe outside of Luke Kuechly. So is Gerald McCoy going to have as many opportunities to rush the passer as Ndamukong Suh in Tampa? Is he going to have less playing time as a result? It's going to be interesting to find out.
You know what else is interesting?
What's that?
One of our new great sponsors, which is kind of an old sponsor.
When you think
we normally talk about Ford's Garage at this point in the podcast,
right.
But Ford's Garage Partner Ownership Group has another restaurant that has joined the Pewter Nation podcast, and that's Yeoman's Cask and Lion.
Yes.
Is that right?
Absolutely. That's right.
And you know, it's a, and we were talking about the Bucks and Panthers playing in London. This is a London themed type pub.
Yes.
From the drinks to the food menus. And they've got a tremendous lunch menu. They've got several lunch menu items under $10 between 11 and 2 o'clock Monday through Friday. If you're in downtown Tampa or you're in Kissimmee, those are the two locations for Yeoman's. Check out the fish and chips, which is amazing. Freshly prepared North Atlantic cod, deep fried with signature beer batter, served with chips, which is fries for you Americans that aren't British like me. American coleslaw, lemon, and our homemade tartar sauce. It's tremendous. Something that Scott likes, the Heartland salad, which is mixed lettuce with fresh spinach, tomato, red onions, carrots, cucumbers, feta cheese, balsamic vinaigrette dressing, and something for the young guys here, because they're kids. They like chicken tenders. They have chicken tenders, and for adults, hand-breaded, homemade, seasoned flour chicken tenders with your choice of ranch or homemade honey mustard or barbecue dipping sauce. And for you vegetarians out there, Gerald McCoy, if you ever come back to Tampa, which I know you're going to come back because your family's staying here, swing by Yeoman's and pick up, because now that you are a vegan, you can have the grilled vegetable sandwich. That's a grilled portobello mushroom, zucchini, squash, and peppers with creamy Havarti cheese and jalapeno cilantro mayonnaise. Yeoman's Cask and Lion, located in downtown Tampa. I like to go there before concerts in Amalie or before Lightning games.
Absolutely.
Go there a lot. I love their, they have Gulf shrimp there, which is my favorite thing to have. But a tremendous place to go. And they've got an amazing alcohol lineup as well.
Absolutely. I love the Guinness there. I feel like I have to partake in Guinness whenever I stop in at Yeoman's before a Lightning game or a concert downtown. We went to the location in St. Petersburg, which has been relocated
right
now to the Kissimmee area. But we were there for the East-West Shrine practices in St. Petersburg and went over there for lunch. First time I'd had a meal there, and I got the Brie Castle, which was a toasted sandwich filled with brie and Munster cheese, arugula, caramelized onion, Granny Smith apples, and pot roast on a sourdough bread. And while that may not sound appetizing, it was honestly one of the best sandwiches I've had in my life. And when I go back to Yeoman's again, that's what I'm getting, the Brie Castle.
We're going to have to start going there every week, Scott, so we can get all prepped up for London.
Yes.
So we get used to the food.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the buffalo chicken sandwich. I get that most of the time I get there. And on the inside, it's great, too. They got that, you know, that big red telephone booth that you see in London. A lot of pictures of, they got David Bowie, Austin Powers, I think the Queen. So there's a little
something for everyone. They have a double-decker bus. They drive through the middle of the restaurant. No, they don't do that.
And that's what they call us, the Wonder Twins, because I was just about to say, I love their buffalo chicken sandwich. One, I've been there a couple times, and I keep telling myself when I go there, I need to try something else. And I just get in there, and I can't get anything different. And then I knew it was meant to be. We were the Wonder Twins when I went in there one day for lunch with, I won't call him a friend because I don't have those, and saw Matt there. Yeah, I was sitting there. I'd been there about 5 minutes, and Matt walks in. I go, wow, well, we really are like pretty much the same human.
You know, if there's an alcohol establishment and Matt's near, he's going to stop in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We can smell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like we're like sharks when there's blood in the water. We sniff and we attack.
Go check out Yeoman's. You can find them online, and you can check out all their menus and their two locations. Yeoman's Cask and Lion, proud sponsor of Pewter Nation Podcast.
So Chris, TB Bucks for Life, says, What is it gonna take to get Scott to create his own Twitter handle and not hide behind the company handle?
Chris, you're my new favorite tweeter.
I like Chris. Chris is a good guy.
Chris is great, yeah. So what is it going to take for me to get my own Twitter handle and not hide behind the company handle? Well, some people say that I am Pewter Report, and they would not necessarily be wrong.
I tend to put MC when I tweet if it's a personal thing on our Twitter account.
Yeah, I mean, I allow you to tweet and the Wonder Twins, of course, and all of that, too. But at some point in time, I will be getting my own handle. Now, the only thing that's going to make me want to do that is I have to have as many followers as you do pretty much initially. So how many followers do you have, Mark?
Yeah. I don't know, 6,839.
Okay. So I need to know that I can get that many followers. I'm not saying first day. I'm not saying first week. I'm not even saying first year. But like I've got
to
be in
like
your realm.
It took me like 6 years to build that up.
That's what I'm saying. Like I need to be there. I need to have most of the 32,000 Twitter followers on Pewter Report follow me.
Problem with that, Scott, is when they read your tweets, they're going to unfollow you.
It's just going to be about heavy metal and current
Trump.
Events. Yeah. I'm not going to tweet about Trump.
You got to know that most of the personal tweets.
I would want that. If you tweet about Trump on our personal one, you definitely do it on your, I mean, on our business one.
You got to know that most of the personal tweets on the Pewter Report account are coming from Scott.
That's true.
No, listen to what I had to say. Pretty funny, you know.
Not really.
At T Jenkins Tampa, you can follow me.
I like that. He just worked it right in.
You like that? You like that transition? Yes.
Matt's going to add his now. Matthew underscore 39 / ..
semicolon.
HTTP Matera 01.
Maddie 4 underscore Matera 2. Maddie 4 underscore. Just remember that.
Okay. Maddie 6 under. I can't. I know. The rhyme doesn't come to me.
All right.
Maddie 4 underscore.
All right. We have a couple more. Underscore. We got a couple more questions to answer here, and then we'll call it a day. At Chef Aaron 26, I know Perryman was signed on to be that speedster deep threat to replace Djax, but what are your thoughts on Watson, as in Justin Watson? 6'3", 215 pounds, 4.41 speed, and the way he and Jameis Winston looked in the preseason last year, it looked like they had a real connection. You know, that's a good question. And I've actually had to talk to Justin Watson. You'll probably be reading about him in next week's SR's Fab Five. Justin Watson got preempted by Gerald McCoy's news this week, so we'll shelve Justin Watson's interview till the following SR
special. Probably going to have his feelings hurt and go on undisputed and complain.
Or uninterrupted.
Yeah.
And I think Watson is a little bit of a sleeper. There wasn't as much buzz about him as there was Scotty Miller, really, you know. And I think that Justin Watson makes this team. I think the team still believes in him. It's just that last year he was strictly a special teams guy. He was a coverage guy in punt and kick returns. And didn't really have an opportunity to do much on offense. So he's really kind of starting from ground zero, and especially with a new offense. But while I don't think that he has been spectacular, I think he's been kind of a steady Eddie, almost the way that Adam Humphries was.
Yeah.
When he first made this team, didn't do anything spectacular, just didn't drop many passes, was always in the spot where he was supposed to be.
Right.
And there's a value to that. So while Scotty Miller can make the big splash plays and separate and go downfield and make those catches that you'll see on the Buccaneers social media reels, which are awesome, by the way. Buccaneers.com does a phenomenal job. Their video and
they
social media game have really stepped up. And
almost as good
great.
As ours.
I think they're better than ours.
No.
With video, for sure.
Not with what's
cooking. Well, they get closer access, too.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. The well, they should, right? Yeah, and they are.
I hope so.
They are the team. But I'm just saying, though, I think that Scotty Miller's been getting some of those highlight reel-type plays, and I think Justin Watson has kind of been that chain mover, doing what he's supposed to. And I think he's got a very good shot at making this roster. If they keep five receivers, I think it's Mike Evans and Breshad Perryman and Chris Godwin as the top three. And I think that as of right now, I think Justin Watson is on the team. And I think that Scotty Miller is probably number five.
That's like a New England Patriots wide receiver staff right there.
In what way?
Couple white guys on making the team. That's 40% white wide receivers. They're going New England with it.
Well, that's okay, right?
It works for them.
Okay.
Racist. All right. Any other questions?
We have some, yes.
All right. Just leave it on the racist comment by Taylor.
I'm just saying that I don't know Bruce Arians too well, but given his...
I do.
Okay, yeah. You've had more FaceTime with him.
We FaceTime each other.
Of course. That's literally why I said FaceTime. I'm certainly guessing that Bruce Arians does not care what origin anybody's from if your receiver catches the ball. And I think Jason Light's the same way.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to throw that out there as a disclaimer.
Yeah, way to go, Taylor.
So D's Bucks 69 says, what's more likely? The Bucks keep Ryan Griffin as the third quarterback or keep Nick Fitzgerald as a Taysom Hill type of offensive weapon? Very good question. I think that's to be determined.
Yeah, it's 50-50 now on that. And, you know, everybody talks about Fitzgerald and being this Taysom Hill kind of guy. We don't know that he can do any of those things.
Right.
I mean, he's an athletic guy. We know that. Broke Tim Tebow's SEC rushing record for a quarterback.
Which so you love.
I
love
it.
You
absolutely.
Love that.
Anytime you can beat Tim Tebow in anything.
Yeah.
How's he doing with the Mets, by the way, Matt?
He's in AAA, but not great. He's got, like, the worst average on the team.
Yeah, well, you know.
But he broke up a fight the other day, so he's doing his Jesus God work.
Okay, how's his wife?
Did he get married yet?
Yeah, I think Tim Tebow's winning.
I don't think he's married yet.
I think he's winning.
I think he's engaged.
I think his fiance, I think he's...
What is he, like 35 now?
Tim Tebow's winning.
He's
going to
remake the 40-year-old virgin movie soon if he doesn't hurry and get married. By the way, if anybody leaves, never mind. I'll just... Won't even go there. Next.
Okay. So I think that it really is going to come down to if Ryan Griffin blows the doors off the barn and looks like he could maybe be the number two on this team, which I don't think is going to happen this year because of Blaine Gabbert. But what I'm saying is if Ryan Griffin really shows out well in training camp in the preseason, and has like 6 touchdowns, no interceptions in the preseason, and really looks like he could be the future backup. And maybe after 2019, he moves up to number 2 and they don't re-sign Blaine Gabbert,
right,
then I think Griffin makes this team. But I think that he still makes the team unless Fitzgerald really shows the ability to catch the ball, because he will play some tight end. The ability to play special teams and star on special teams, because that's what Taysom Hill does too. He returns kicks, he covers punts, and we saw Fitzgerald doing the very important role of the personal protector on punts. So if Fitzgerald can check enough boxes and be a utility guy, I think that Bruce Arians is creative enough and forward thinking enough to where he maybe has the nod over Griffin. But I think it's Ryan Griffin's job to win or lose in training camp.
It's going to be my favorite battle to watch in training camp, the third quarterback spot.
Yeah.
Not really. But I will be paying attention. It will be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I mean,
honestly, when's the last time the third quarterback battle was of any interest? Ever.
Never.
Never.
Yeah.
So it will be something to watch.
Actually, when Joe Hamilton was drafted,
The
Georgia Tech quarterback, like 5'9" guy. Yeah. Yeah, by Dungy. And I think
4'17".
Yeah. He was a pretty interesting third string quarterback. A couple more questions here, and we'll call it a day. Sharver Online, what are your top 3 dip brands, flavors, and cuts, Mark? Also, what players, if any, dip in the locker room?
Number 1, Copenhagen Long Cut. Number 2, Copenhagen Long Cut. Number 3, Copenhagen Long Cut. That's the only stuff I'll dip.
They're cheaper in Mobile, Alabama.
A lot cheaper. Everything's cheaper in Mobile, Alabama, including
I noticed when we go to the Senior Bowl.
Chop Suey.
Yeah, I noticed when we go to the Senior Bowl, you stock up.
Yes, I do. But there's not the Florida has the additional dollar sin tax and some other taxes on things. It's kind of a ridiculous thing. But here's the announcement. Here's the big announcement for everybody. My goal is to quit dipping before training camp starts this year.
Really?
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it.
Okay.
But that is my goal, is to quit.
You have to make it a goal to achieve that goal.
Well, I got to say it. I got to admit it. I don't know
that
it'll happen.
Speak it into existence.
Okay. But
I
we'll
thought
see.
You were going to say your goal was to become like a Copenhagen spokesperson.
Well, I have been that, essentially.
For free product.
They won't give me any free product. I'll try. Do get coupons in the mail pretty regular.
Yeah.
But, okay, so as far as players that dip
in
the locker room.
Well, we probably should leave that alone.
Yeah, because
that's their own.
Their wives finding out. And
I will say there's
Alan Cross did.
Yeah.
But he dipped
Grizzly,
Red
like
Seal.
A savage.
Yeah, Grizzly, yeah.
Like a
he
savage.
He's from Memphis. Ooh, I like it. But really, Grizzly's crap. It's cheap Iranian tobacco. It's not U.S.-made tobacco.
It's Iranian tobacco?
Yeah. And he goes, nuh-uh. Says it right on the can. Says Memphis. I said, well, that's okay. That's where it's shipped from. But I can assure you, they're not growing your tobacco in Memphis.
Yeah.
It's coming from the Middle East.
If you
somewhere.
Read the fine right. print.
Well, there is no fine print on tobacco products, which is kind of the scary thing because you have no idea what's really in it.
Yeah.
So,
well,
anyway. But
I will say this. I think that
John Gruden used to dip.
Yeah, for sure.
I saw him take one on the sideline one time on TV. Tony Mayberry, a long time ago, used to dip.
Warren Sapp made you drive down the street and buy him some dip.
That's a true story.
Right. I would say that players, times they are a changing. I think players back in the day dipped more than they do now.
Yeah, they vape a lot.
Probably.
I don't know that for sure.
I'm guessing that, but we don't know that for sure. And then Tommy, all hands galley.
Sounds like somebody Taylor would like.
I think you said that last week, too. Because so many players are on a one-year deal and in contract years, and not everyone can get signed. Do you think the Bucks will be using the franchise tag next season? And if so, on who?
Jameis Winston.
Instead of getting a contract extension?
I mean, if he has an average, I mean, if you have 7-9,
yeah.
What do you do?
7-9, but he has a good year, like a decent year.
If
right?
he has, yeah, if he has a.
To where you don't know if you want to fish or cut bait with him yet.
And the thing is, if he's basically had a year like he's had the first 4 years,
yeah.
anything like that, I think that he's the prime candidate to be the franchise tag guy.
What are the type of numbers that he has to get a contract extension?
I don't know that numbers matter as much as wins.
Really?
And I think he's going to have to. If this team sniffs the playoffs 9-7, 10-6, they're in the running for the NFC South mm-hmm. title, which actually 10-6 is not going to do it because I think the Saints are going to blow the doors off everybody this year. But they're a 13-win team, 12 at least. But, I mean, as long as everybody stays healthy on that team, mainly Drew Brees. But if they're contending for a wild card position, mm-hmm. I think he has a good shot maybe to get that extension then, because I think that's going to be the key is wins and losses
All
at
right.
this point.
So,
now, if he throws 17 touchdowns and 17 interceptions, and The thing is, if he does that, they're not going to be 10-6.
Right. Okay, so here's my premise. And let's assume that the Todd Bowles' defense, because that's the side of the ball where they have the most ground to gain, right? Let's say Todd Bowles' defense really makes a marked improvement. Sacks are up. Most importantly, turnovers are up, or takeaways, and points allowed goes down. And let's say the Bucs go 9-7 or 10-6. Let's say they do enough to get the last wild card spot. And Jameis has like 26 touchdowns and 18 interceptions, right? Where there's only eight. You know, typically, I think you want like a 2-1 ratio, right?
Yeah.
Touchdowns, interceptions, if not higher. But let's say Jameis doesn't hit that benchmark. What do you do?
Franchise tag. I mean,
you take another year.
Yeah. If they're contending for a wild card spot and Jameis doesn't blow the doors open himself, then I think you do. Now, if he just completely craps the bed, then you cut bait and you move on at that point. But I think Bruce Arians is intrigued with Jameis Winston to the point where I think Jameis is, unless he just completely melts down, is going to be here next year, whether it be via contract extension if he does really well, or if he's mediocre, another franchise tag. Because I think people will say, well, you look at how long it took Carson Palmer to really fit into Bruce's scheme. Now, Bruce pointed out, you know, the difference between Carson and Jameis is Carson came into a new situation with new receivers. Jameis has had these guys, you know, most of these guys essentially his whole career.
As good as Bruce is as a quarterback developer, being the quarterback whisperer, I don't think at age, he'll be 67 next year, that he has the time or inclination to deal with the rookie quarterback.
He wants Jameis Winston to work out. I don't think he's going to be a guy that is going to want to groom and draft a quarterback in the top five next year and start all over again. But who knows? I mean, Jameis to me is most likely to be the franchise tag guy.
Is there any other, let's put Jameis aside, any other players that you think could garner that?
Give me some of those unrestricted free agents from your fab a couple weeks ago.
Well, I got it here.
Okay.
So on offense, it's Jameis, Rashard Perryman, Peyton Barber, Damar Dotson, Earl Watford, Evan Smith, Caleb Benenach, Blaine Gabbert, and Andre Ellington.
None of those
so,
guys.
So, yeah, a lot of them, it's all just a lot of aging people.
Right. Maybe Perryman if he blows up.
Right.
You know,
as a franchise
yards.
Wide receiver? No way.
You know, I'm not going to pay him $16 million.
No way.
Yeah, that's exactly it. How much are you going to pay him? Because it has to be a franchise guy to do this tag. You go, oh, yeah, we'd like to keep him for another year. But he's making $4 million a year. Is he going to jump a $12 million payday in production today? He's had trouble staying healthy.
Yeah, I mean, because
you're talking like
the average of the top
million.
Five, so it's between 16 and 20 million.
Right.
Yeah.
And then on defense, it's Sue, Bo Allen, Shaq Barrett, Carl Nassib, Noah Spence, Kevin Minter, Deion Buchanan, Kentrell Bryce, Raheem Nunez-Rojas, Corey Nelson, Ryan Smith, Devontae Harris, Devontae Bond, and Cairo Santos on special teams.
Santos.
I think.
So, again, it's kind of aging people who.
I think the wild card might be like a Carl Nassib.
I was thinking Nassib as well.
Yeah, if Nassib gets 10 or 12 sacks, if he really steps up and gets to the point where they say, hey, you know, we're going to be cap strapped next year to a degree. When you look at all of these 1 year deals that we had to make decisions on, and with Jameis. You know, if he gets a contract extension, he'll be because Jameis making $30 million next year
between 25 and 30.
Yeah. Okay. So having said that,
Wilson, Dak Prescott ends up in the $30 million club.
Right. So you might have to look at it and say, we might have to cut JPP and save. I think he's making $12.5 million in 2020, and try to work out a long term deal with Carl Nassib, who is younger and is that pass rusher guy. If he gets to that double digit sack number. And has a lot of pressures and forces fumbles, all those things. And if you can't come to a contract extension with him, then you got to keep him somehow. And I think that he might be the other guy to use the franchise tag on. And I think the wild card might be Ndamukong Suh. If Suh has 10 or 11 sacks and, you know, they're trying to agree on a number.
You don't want to sign him to a long-term deal.
Right.
And many teams, most teams would shy away from that. I mean,
exactly.
3 year deal at the most, maybe.
Yeah.
Just due to his age.
Right. And again, looking at the defensive tackle numbers, if you're gonna sign Ndamukong Suh to a franchise tag based on this year's numbers, the number five guy is $14 million. That's Marcell Dareus. The top guy is Fletcher Cox is $17 million. So you're gonna be looking around $15 million a year. For Ndamukong Suh, which again, if he has a 10-11 sack season. And if that's the case, you're probably in the playoffs. And if you're in the playoffs, you're a couple games away from the Super Bowl. And if you want to keep that core intact, but you don't want to do a long-term deal, maybe you bite the bullet and say, Jason Pierre-Paul, kind of the neck injury. You know,
go all
sorry
in,
about
push
that.
Your chips in for 1 year.
Push your chips for Sue, yeah.
All righty. Just one announcement to make. We have Mike Allstott's celebrity bowling event, charity bowling event coming up at Pin Chasers next month. It's going to be July 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. It's $20 per person, but that $20 gets you an opportunity to meet Mike, get an autograph or a photo, get you 2 hours of bowling, also a slice of pizza and a drink. All of the money raised in that will be given to Mike's Family Foundation, a great charity foundation that does a lot in our community. We're not taking a cut. Pin Chasers doesn't take a cut. All the money goes directly to the Mike Allstott Family Foundation. You can go online on our Pewter Report Facebook page, and you can go ahead and buy tickets now. It's $20 for adults. If you've got a child that would like to attend, it's only $10 for them. Again, a great event, a great cause, and we always have a really good time. And if you'd like to sponsor a lane, what we're doing is you can sponsor a lane for your company, and for $250, you can have six bowlers at the lane. You'll get signage. You'll get credit for that. And, you get an opportunity to get a photo with you and your employees with Mike Allstott. And we'll make sure to get you a copy of that. Some great things, some great raffle prizes we'll also be giving away to help raise money. Again, go to Pewter Report at our Facebook page and look under the events, and you can buy tickets ahead of time for that. So, and there'll be limited tickets available, so you might want to do that as soon as possible.
And just the thing, too, Mike is a very great guy, generous with his time. He's going to be coming out and doing this bowling event with us. He's going to be talking about some old Buck stories, which are fantastic. He'll do a Q&A with fans. You know, he'll take a selfie with you. You know, he's not opposed to signing autographs, but you have to be a paid bowler to get an autograph. And when I mean autograph, I mean like one, like
2 years. It's you know, you can't bring a box full of stuff for Mike to sign. Now, 2 years ago when we had Mike out, we literally had to bring him in a private entrance, because when people got word he was going to be there, the autograph hounds with the backpacks and stuff were staking out. There was probably eight of them out front.
Yep, and we're not doing that. So, and I'm just telling you right now.
If you don't have a wristband, you don't get the autograph. Yep. I mean, if you want to wait for Mike in the parking lot and he wants to sign for you, that's his business.
That's his business, during
the 7 to 9 period, that's what it's for. And again, the money all goes to Mike Allstott Family Foundation. He and his wife, Nicole, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do a tremendous job in the Tampa Bay area.
Yep. And Rich Clements is director.
Yep, Rich is a great guy, too.
Just at their celebrity dinner a couple weeks ago. Fantastic event.
And I got to hang out with Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC.
Yeah, I got to hang out with Monty Kiffin from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'll take Chris.
Architect of the Tampa 2. I'll take Monty Kiffin NSYNC. Any day of the week.
Best selling boy band of all time.
Best defensive coordinator in Tampa Bay history.
He knows Justin Timberlake.
He has a Super Bowl ring.
He's got a Grammy.
He was credited for actually having the name of a defense, the Tampa 2.
Chris Packer's not real old.
Monty Kiffin is older.
Yeah, he's old. Touché. I got you on that one.
Touche.
No, I'm just kidding, Nick Carter. We love you. You're still my favorite my favorite boy band guy.
You almost slipped up your favorite Backstreet Boy.
I actually
Is Chris Kirkpatrick in the running for your best boy band friend?
It depends. He lives in Nashville now. We talked about getting together for the Bucks Titans game. Oh, so okay. If he actually comes through, then he's going to be nudging Bruce. What's his name? Nick. Golly, how quick I forget. He might be nudging Nick out of my pecking order. I'm just kidding. Nick's the guy. In fact, they just had two sold out shows in London at the O2 Arena. They're doing their European tour. They did a South America tour. They'll be coming back to the United States. Be playing locally in Orlando in August. So go ahead and request that night off, because I'll be hanging with Nick backstage.
I'll be there as well.
And
Nick's already texted me, invited me to the concert with free tickets and backstage passes.
Not sure that I believe
that. I can show you the text.
I want to see the text.
I can show you the text.
Pull it out right now on the air.
All right.
Let's see. Because I have a feeling Scott's like, hey, man, I don't think he just solicited you and said, hey, you're coming to my show.
Well, as I'm looking this up.
And you're going to screen capture this and put it on Twitter, because I don't believe you.
I don't
if it's
do
true.
That.
See, he doesn't have it. Oh, I must have accidentally deleted it.
I just don't put... You know, I'm not going to sit there and put this up on people's businesses here.
I do. I can show you my text from Nick.
Okay.
Well, all Nick says, I got you, man. I don't know what that means exactly. I hope that means I really am getting tickets because I hate to go to Orlando because I hate Orlando.
Not the best drive.
We're coming to Orlando this summer. You should come. I already told Mark. So bring someone and I got you.
I got you.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, great.
He texted me this. He's soliciting
me. Just out of the
blue. Yes.
But you notice he said, I already told Mark.
That's fine. He's letting me know.
You're second.
We're coming to Orlando this summer. You should come. I already told Mark. So bring someone and I got you. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well.
Hey, Nick.
Chris Kirkpatrick, you're now my new favorite boy bander. Nick is out. I'm just kidding. It'll be a good time. You'll have to listen to their CD before you go because when I went and saw him in Vegas, I know like three songs.
Okay. One more announcement to make. Mark and I will be traveling to London to cover the Buccaneers-Panthers game.
If my doctor refill my Xanax.
Yeah. And we're going to be getting together with some of our British Buccaneer friends across the pond. And we're going to have an event, a Pewter Report event over there. We're going to meet Bucs fans, drink beer, and answer questions. So this will be an opportunity for you guys. Might even do a podcast over there. Whip out the phones and record something.
I hate it when guys start saying whip out, and you just never know what's coming next. But
especially with Taylor Jenkins.
You're right about that.
And just pray for the best.
In other words, Taylor's got his fingers crossed what gets whipped out.
Right.
All right, yeah, we're gonna have a good time in London, and it would be fun because we there are a lot of Bucs fans over there. We get a lot of messages on Twitter and things like that. And right now, I'm up to 17 people have offered to buy me a beer. I don't know that I've drank 17 beers in the last 17 years.
I could help
years.
You with that.
Yeah, Scott will probably be drinking the beer. Now, I don't know if they have Southern Comfort there. That's the redneck drink of my choice. But I wonder what their version is. Aristocrat Comfort?
I like Hendrick's Gin. That's over there in the
well, what about bourbon? Do they have bourbon in the UK?
British? No, I don't think so. I like Crown Royal. That's Canadian. So
yeah, we'll figure something out. Maybe Connor Philpott, our buddy from Ireland, who quickly pointed out that you were wrong.
Yes,
and
I was.
You were on probation for claiming that Guinness is from England.
And yet here I am.
Yeah, well, I just forgot about it or I would have suspended you.
Benefits of being the boss.
Actually, I don't want to suspend you because that means I have to carry this whole podcast with the Wonder Twins. Which
you'll have to next week.
Yes, Scott is off next week. So I'm going to definitely try and find a guest to join us next week because there's no way I'm going to sit here and just talk to these two yahoos for an hour.
Not
going to
answer a bunch of questions.
That.
Yeah, we're just going to do nothing but question answers. So anyway. All right, for Matthew Matera and Mr. Taylor Nutchecker Jenkins, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cooks, and we'll see you next week with another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Out.
Out.